Joining me now through the miracle of the landline telephone is our new friend James Michael Scott. He's the front man of the band Here and Now Don't Stop. James, a warm welcome to Some Sort of Rock Show tonight.
How's it going, man?
It is going really well, James, and I hate to be obvious and somewhat cliche, but we should probably start out with your band name. You call yourselves Here and Now Don't Stop. Give us an idea of how you came up with that name.
It was an old idea that I had had even prior to finding Christ, which is funny. But I said, man, we should do this. That way we could call the band Hands. And they were like, oh, Here and Now Don't Stop. And then I was working with a former manager of my previous band. He was like, well, that's great. I like that. So it just kind of stuck. And now we're stuck with it. It's insanely long.
It is
all five syllables.
It is long. That's the first thing that captured my attention is a lot of words in it. Tell us a little bit about that Here and Now and Don't Stop, how those elements fit together.
So when you first find Christ, the urgency of the gospel becomes something that is just, I don't know, it enamored me. And it became something that I was infatuated with, and it took over my soul, and it took a long time to kind of figure out how to go about that. But that's what we kind of aim the message as. When are you supposed to serve here and now? For how long? Don't stop. You know, it's just about service, and that's what we're trying to put out there as Christians.
We are talking with James Michael Scott. He's the front man of the band Here and Now Don't Stop. Now, James, I've learned a little bit about your story, enough to know that if a couple of years ago I would have suggested to you that you'd be making music to encourage people in their faith, you would have thought I was nuts.
I would have probably called you a liar and a couple other things, too. It was something I vehemently opposed, Christianity and any sort of religion. I was a complete atheist. So, yeah, that one would have gone over not so well.
So how did you get to where you are now? You weren't just a passive atheist. How did you describe your atheism? What phrase did you use?
A vehement atheist. I vehemently opposed everything that Christianity stood for, and I didn't really know why. So that was one of those situations where when you end up in the scientific community and you're understanding, I think it borders on arrogance at the same time, but I thought that, you know, admitting that there was a God and seeking that route was essentially giving up. That pursuit being one that was fruitless, and that we needed to continue to strive as humanity to try and do this and do that. It was evident in writing. I actually have a song out there called Faith from my band, State Your Cause, my previous band, and the actual line in it is, I call it crazy, but you call it faith. Just a complete atheist anthem. So I got to live with that still being out there, but it's a lesson in ignorance, because when you end up on this path, it just changes everything. And what I thought was giving up, Proverbs 9:10a, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You know, like when you start understanding that, finding that God is there and that He is sovereign, and like all these things just start falling into place. And I was in a broken relationship where I had cheated on the mother of my son for a decade while being on the road in bands and everything. And coming to Christ and really seeking that out, we had no relationship. It was over. And 3 months later, we're married, you know, and it's just like all the things that end up coming back together when you are seeking God and the fulfillment of all of His promises. It's just crazy when you start looking at being without and thinking that there's no adventure in a Christian lifestyle, and then finding that is the most fulfilling and exciting thing you could ever do with your life.
Wow, that is really incredible, James. Now, take us back to that moment. There had to be a kind of a fulcrum moment for you in this journey of faith that you've been on. And what was it that began to really change you?
I ended up on a work trip to Iowa. You know, I had lost a lot of people, lost a lot of friends, and some people were poking and prodding at me, and then this God thing kept coming up, and I was just like, man, I don't even know what this is about. But I was in a situation where I wanted to take my life. It was going to be the ultimate way to kind of show my then ex, my now wife, how much I despised her, and it was going to be the big knock against her, and I wasn't thinking about my son or anything. Complete selfishness had led me to wanting my own death. In the atheist worldview, that's not really a bad thing, right? You sit there and you think about life having value, that's kind of foreign in the universal sense. When you're talking about it having value, we're just existing bugs on a rock, you know, so on and so forth. I just asked for peace and along a long drive, and I ended up in a airport parking garage in Omaha, Nebraska, and I just said, God, if you just give me peace and make all this chaos stop, you can have my life. And ever since that day, it stopped, and I was seeking him without without any prompting, and it hasn't stopped. Of course, there's been, you know, the ups and downs of understanding and seeking and learning more, but that was the pivotal moment, was realizing that going the James way, I had lost everything. And finding the way, you know, it really was the pinnacle point. And it is in everybody's life when they find it, you know, as you're a fellow Christian, you can relate. But that was it. It's just realizing that there was, my way led me to nothing and inevitably death.
I find it interesting that you took a scientific approach, being an artist, because most artists would call themselves more along the lines of a philosopher rather than a scientist. So tell me a little bit about your background that had you thinking in that direction.
Well, I remember the first falling away of everything was going to Ohio State, and a lot of the university stuff kind of like helped pull me into what I was thinking anyways, you know. And it's funny how difficult it is to erase what's written on our hearts, right? You know, that's a task, you know, that the atheist has to go through. You know, I don't think anybody ever just woke up one day and was just like, well, I guess there's nothing out there, so this is it. And maybe they have, you know, I can't speak for everybody, but I remember always wanting an answer, and God wasn't it. You know, that wasn't enough. That can't be it. So I've studied chemistry. I've studied biology. I've gone into a whole bunch of things, racked up a whole bunch of debt. I really wish I could go back on that. But I even remember having a Christian chemistry teacher and even saying to him, like, how can you believe this? And he's like, well, looking at all this, how can I not? And it's so cool to understand that side of it now, to being like, wow, this is all pointing to something much bigger than just random chance.
We are talking with James Michael Scott. He is the front man of the band Here and Now Don't Stop. What an amazing story he has of coming to Christ. And so what in you made you actually even ask God for that peace?
So, I mean, I grew up around some of it, but I didn't have the best motives going into church, being a young man into music and everything. I'm sure there's quite some attractive women in churches. I had been around it and kind of knew about it, and in my attempts to refute a Christian, and see, that's one of the things that I tell anybody that wants to debate an atheist, don't just give them Jesus. If they want to argue with you, you know, you never know how that's going to go, because when it comes to worldviews and long-held beliefs, that's a difficult thing to overcome. But if you want to really challenge them, just love them, you know, and that's what changes it all, because eventually if you give them scripture, they're arguing with God. They're not arguing with you anymore. My now wife had been going and attending churches, and I told her that that would be the end of our relationship. And I didn't realize how right I was, but there was a lot of stuff going on. There was a song by NF called Wake Up that I'd listened to, and she was listening to all this music around the house, and I eventually moved out and got my own apartment. I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand her. Hated it. I was in so big of denial. But it was all this stuff, text messages from people and things that were going on. I knew that there was a Jesus, because I had, you know, I had gone against his people for so long, right? That's the biggest mistake an atheist can make, is judging the faith by its followers instead of the faith itself and the founder. You find out that he's a little bit better than the rest of us.
Well, amen to that.
I was talking to my now mother-in-law, who's a very, very special woman in my life, and she sent me a song by Casting Crowns, and it said, "Just Be Held," you know, it was a song called Just Be Held. I'm just sitting there looking on YouTube as this is going on my phone, and I'm like, I don't want hugs right now. I need answers. I'm like, and there was a line that came by it, and it said, there's freedom in surrender. And I dropped my phone, and I realized it was all so very clear to me, and I understood enough by some of the people that had been in my life talking about Jesus and who he was, that was where forgiveness was found. That was where salvation was found. It stinks a little bit because I'm talking with 2 years experience on this now, instead of in the infancy of it and that beauty of that first love. The moment that peace came over me, I just knew. I was like, okay, that was so real in that moment. I understand that I need to seek this out, and I need to understand what just happened. Since that happened in February 6th of 2016, I'll never forget it. life has just been very full